What's up, everyone? This is going to be my spoiler-free review of Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness. Yeah, if it sounds like I got a little low energy, it's because it's like 2 o'clock in the morning, and I'm tired as fuck. But I'm amped, because this movie was amazing. All right, so, here we go. We're going about to get into it. 1, 2, 3, go. The non-spoiler review, I guess, but it's definitely a Sam Raimi movie, you know what I mean? Like, this movie, it gave you the whole jam, you know what I mean? Because a lot of times you watch the Marvel movies or you watch the Disney movies, it's kind of like they just be holding the directors back and, like, not letting them fully go in and do their thing. But it's like with this one, with Kevin Feige let Sam Raimi go in and do his thing and make it essentially his own movie, basically. In a way, this movie is a straight up. This movie is a straight up Sam Raimi movie all day. Like, there's nothing in it that you can't be like, the Sam Raimi didn't put his like little touch on, kind of thing. You know what I mean? Because, and as of right now, to be honest, the only other director that Marvel and Disney even let, I guess, probably say even let them just go full out and do their own thing is probably John Watts. So, because John Watts has done the last 3 Spider-Man movies, and they were all great. So, and I feel like, you know, he's one of them directors, like, he's not as big as a name as, say, like, a Raimi or what's that dude's name, man? Or even like a, you know what I'm saying, like a Nolan or somebody or whatever. Like he's up there, but he ain't on that caliber of like classic names as far as directors go. But I mean, I feel like he's making that staple. So with Marvel letting him pretty much go in and do their own thing and being like, hey, we got this dude who obviously has been in this territory before because he directed the first 3 Spider-Man movies for Sony, it would make sense. It really just made sense. And then the fact that they trying to go for this whole like horror feel, you know what I mean? Like, they want this horror movie-ish kind of thing, I guess, going on with it. But, and when you watch it, it's kind of you the element of it, but it's not the, I'm not going to put it and say it's like a horror Marvel movie. I'm gonna say it just got the scary elements, whatever. And if you are a Sam Raimi fan, then you already know what I'm talking about. So, because he gives that Evil Dead, you know, the quick shots, stuff like that. It was a cool thing. I dig it. But at the same time, too, though, what's that? What was it? They just did a lot of, this was one movie too, I felt like they just did a lot of practical effects. Like, the practical effects for this was way better in comparison. So, because most of the movies, they just be so heavy CGI based that when you watch them, it's like you get lost into the CGI part of it. But you also, I don't know, sometimes it can be like a turnoff, and you just be like, bro, I just can't with this right now. And a lot of the TV shows be kind of like that, where you kind of like, eh, this CGI sucks so bad. Like, it's just, I don't want to watch it. But it was cool because Sam Raimi did that, his thing of doing practical effects, which he's very good at. So, he's got to go with the fact that this is, like I said, it's a straight up Raimi movie. Be honest. And with them giving him that free reign, that it definitely made it way better. And you had, what's her name? Elizabeth Olsen. So Elizabeth Olsen and Benedict Cumberbatch, like, man. To be honest, Benedict, he did it because he played multiples of himself or whatever in different costumes and all of that. And I was like, I dig that. But to be honest, Elizabeth Olsen as Scarlet Witch, she killed it. She killed it. So, because she made that character, she made the character believable on multiple fronts. You know what I mean? Like, she made it believable as the fact of, like, one, you know what I mean? Like, if you going through the tragedy and all the other kind of stuff, like we saw in WandaVision, so you kind of already kind of feel her pain. But then at the same time, it's like, if you were a parent or you a mom, something like that, then you will obviously be feeling that, like the loss of children kind of thing. You know what I mean? Like the grief and all that kind of stuff. Even though we know that she made these kids, you know what I'm saying? Like these kids technically wasn't real and all of that. But the fact of the matter is to, if you're thinking about it in the aspect of like, oh, this is a parent just trying to get their kids or whatever, then it's kind of almost kind of thing where you're like, yeah, a parent probably would do whatever absolutely necessary to get a kid, you know what I'm saying, or get their kid back or whatever. And so there's a huge thing in that, you know what I mean, that speaks to her character. But in speaking to her character and her accepting that role, that took her to a whole nother level. And I mean, you can say she went anti-hero, you can say she went villain, however you want to put it, she was not about that bullshit. So that's the one thing that I highly appreciated in the movie. And then I highly appreciated too that with Sam Raimi, he took it and was like, you know what, I'm going to use this element of her being here and this element of her anger and sadness and so on and so forth, and use that and portray that out as this thing of like, you would be a villain too if this was happening to you, kind of a thing. So it still gives you that feeling of like, well, she's a villain, but or she might be a villain, or she might be an anti-hero, but I understand her situation. So you kind of can fuck with that a little bit, which I dig, as a big thing too. Yeah. And then, like, you know, we got the elements of bringing new characters in, like with America Chavez, which was kind of confusing, but it was. I don't know. But who knows? They can do, I feel like they're going to do something with it. And on this part, if I say this, then it'll be kind of somewhat of a spoiler, so I'm not going to leave that. So, but you can check that part out. I'm going to make a spoiler review on probably tomorrow or the day after. And you can hear that one. But I'm not going to go into that. So anyway, they just did it. This movie also kind of gives you that feeling of this, of Marvel trying to take the place of figuring out a place for Iron Man and saying, hey, you know, we can use Doctor Strange and say, hey, he can be everyone's new mentor kind of thing, which is cool. But also at the same time, I was hoping that Marvel would try to step away from that, like, oh, we need a mentor thing, and it's kind of let everybody be their own thing, I guess, and learn on their own. And but that's something I don't think that they're gonna do at all. So, yeah, and like that kind of thing kind of made it a little irritating, to be honest. But also, we also kind of are still running into the same issue of Marvel doing that same thing. The standard villain bad guy ending, you know what I mean? Or villain bad guy, or not villain bad guy. Yeah, I guess you say a villain bad guy ending, or the issue of what's happening with said opposition. You know what I'm saying? In the way that they end it. That they still haven't learned from at all. Which, in my opinion, they could take a book, you know, backlash from DC on that one, but that's just me. And we all know the crisis that is DC right now. But anyway, let's not get into that. So, next thing I was saying was that a lot of this movie too was, you know, it's gonna be heavy on cameos, heavy on all of that major stuff, which I know everybody wants to get to that part. But before we do, okay, gotta talk about the fact that there's a hell of a lot of unanswered questions in this. Unanswered questions from, one, WandaVision, two, from Loki, and then I'm even gonna throw in Eternals, right? There's unanswered questions between those three things. And you kind of wonder, like, well, what does Eternals have to do with this? It doesn't a lot, but it does at the same time. Just because if you're going through time, you're talking multiverse, you're talking about all these people who, A, could have stepped up at some point in time, you know what I mean? Like, even now. Or you have the fact that the variants and their backgrounds and stories and all that kind of jazz. So it's just a lot of unanswered questions between those three things. And it sucks. But I feel like some of those would probably get answered. But until then, you're just kind of screwed. So, because it's a lot of, I guess it'll be more of a fan theory type of stuff, I'm taking it, than anything. So, when you see it, you can decipher that out for yourself to see. Now, they did say that they did build it up for it to be some crossover events and like a major crossover kind of thing. And there was a build up for that. They used a lot of stuff like wordage, I guess you would say, from WandaVision, from Loki. Like, they used a lot of Nexus events or like incursion or, you know, so on and so forth, whatever. So it kind of sets you up for some stuff that can happen and all that here in the future of the show or the movies. I'm trying to think. It was something else too that I was going to drop. And much Raimi style too. There is some things that kind of did irritate me. Whereas, you know, like Raimi has it to where it's like sometimes he makes it to where it's almost impossible for them not to break the fourth wall. And that is something that happened in that movie. But not in a, I don't say it. Well, I guess not in a Deadpool-ish type of way, but in a Sam Raimi type of way. So, you can take that kind of as what it is, you know. And then as far as the cameos, without giving any spoilers out, the cameos you will definitely be satisfied with. You'll definitely be satisfied with the casting for these people. And the way that they're displayed in the movie. Now, without any spoilers, some of the timing is cut a little bit short. And I think some of the timing is just off just a touch. But the ones that do pop up are definitely well worth it. And you can definitely tell that Marvel and Kevin Feige are going in that direction of saying, hey, you know what, like, maybe you should stick closer to the comic accurate stuff of what's going on versus what the studio wants. And you can tell that that's definitely paying off. And it's going to pay off even more so in the future, I believe. Anyway, but yeah, this is really about it. So this is, I've got more, but if I give you more, it's just going to be me spoiling it. It's just going to be all spoilers. So, yeah. Check the movie out. Go watch it. And then get back with me. And then we'll figure something out. You know? So, and then, you know, I'll give you my spoiler review of that. And you could be like, ah, I knew it. So, matter of fact, this isn't, you know, I'm okay. I guess that would be a spoiler, but it's not right. So, before I get out of here, I'm just going to say that the 1997 Mutant X-Men from the cartoons is canon. All right, I'm out. Dude, man. So let's talk about saving some money really fast, right? Because obviously, you know, this is a commercial. One thing about this one, let's talk about saving money with car insurance. And I know this sounds like a cliche thing because you hear about this all the time on TV, but just go check these people out. Go check out Jerry, the car insurance saving app, right? It's a cool app. I use it, and it saved me a lot of money, right? On average, the average customer can save like $878 a year using this Jerry app, right? Because they go through and they find all of the insurance people that are going to really save you money and work best for you and, you know, keep you safe and money in your pocket, you know? That's the best thing to do, right? They have a 4.2 on Google, so you know it's legit and you know they're about that business, man. That's why I use them. And of course, you know, here on the Orbit Spaceman Show, we are all about the good stuff, you know? So, you can go to the Jerry app and you can use them. Find them on Google and iOS. You can sign up in like 43 seconds. It doesn't even take that long, right? So, check this out. I'm going to leave you guys a invite down in the bottom to go and get on that. You know what I mean? So there will be a quick little link in the bio for Jerry Insurance, and you can check that out and get hooked up. You know what I mean? Let's do it, dude. Like, you'll save so much money. So much money. The Jerry app, insurance. Check it out. You made it to the end of the episode. I can't believe that. It's pretty awesome. You're the real MVP, as they say. As that one guy with the bad haircut and the balding situation. What's his name? Kevin Durant? Yeah? That guy. Anyway, thanks for listening to this podcast. This podcast is an amazing podcast. We're listening to it way over here while we're hanging out with koalas and things, you know? It sounds kind of bad and sounds kind of out of place, but some people do like to hang out with koalas and listen to this podcast while smoking a J, you know? If that's what you like to do, then definitely keep coming back again. And you can find this podcast on Snapchat and Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, all those places that you can find great podcasts like Overcast, Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, all those kind of things. And fuck yeah, dude, we'll see you again next time on the next episode. And hopefully this fucking koala will stop taking my goddamn weed.